Hello, patrons. It's Wednesday. It's Tottenham.
Start that again.
The Fantasy Football Show. Hello, patrons. It's Wednesday. It's Tottenham. We recorded our Skypod. The audio got fucked. Now we're doing Tottenham before we go back to doing Sky. But Tottenham, we both won on the weekend.
Yeah.
We won in Europe in between as well.
But yeah, James, you won twice, I suppose.
Yeah, aggregate 5-0. Both games were average, I would say, in terms of the opposition didn't particularly pose a threat in either. I was a bit disappointed with Freiburg, to be honest with you. I expected a bit more from them.
You went to the game Sunday, right?
Sunday I went to the game, yeah.
Enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was all right. It wasn't exciting, to be honest with you. It was pretty training game stuff.
Did you feel anything in the sense like...
Ribman.
Because you hadn't been all season, or like, did you miss it? Did you think, oh, no.
No.
Okay.
No, nothing like that made me think, right, I still want to do this journey and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, nothing like that at all. But yeah, it was a good day out, and it was a particularly easy game. But we obviously, before that, beat Freiburg, mate.
So group one, you skipped a round.
Easy.
That's handy.
Yes. I think it's 10 home wins on the bounce now in Europe. So,
and the teams who've dropped in from the Champions League, I don't think it's the best group ever of teams that have dropped in.
Benfica, AC Milan. There's quite a few.
Yeah, Milan, you want to play, mate.
Well, you think they're
no,
beatable?
You want to see West Ham playing the San Siro, mate?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, let's see.
If there's any West Ham fans listening who would have the opportunity to go to that San Siro...
And shit in a hole.
And shit in a hole. Let me tell you now, that is an absolute must. Do not think twice about it. Just go.
Cool, yeah. But yeah, I was disappointed by Freiburg, to be honest with you. I thought I was expecting more from them. And I was pretty disappointed with Wolves as well, considering the results that they'd had this season or some of the performances against yourselves. They beat you. City, they gave... a beating to Man United was a tough game. So you're thinking Wolves might be a challenge, but attacking threat was null and void, mate.
Okay.
We play the same team again, week in, week out. I think we'll play the same team again today. I think we'll go strong against Liverpool.
Are you concerned about Saturday lunchtime from that perspective?
No, I think if we play like we did against Wolves, I think we can beat Man United.
I mean, in terms of... like
turnaround time.
Yeah.
Kind of getting used to this nonsense now, aren't we? I say nonsense, it's not nonsense. I mean, we're kind of getting used to the fact that we've got quite tight turnaround, and that was what it was going to be for the whole of December.
Yeah, but also because you spend fair bits of time without the ball, and obviously we'll do tonight.
Yeah,
he does put a little bit more on the legs, mate. Like, it's not just Wednesday and then Saturday lunchtime. It's a way to Liverpool.
100%
Saturday lunchtime.
We looked tired in certain periods, or at least that we were conserving energy.
Bowen massively. And, he was walking around for most of the last 15 minutes.
You, he didn't look like he was particularly interested, actually, to be honest with you. But that clearly wasn't it.
He was just saving himself for the counters.
Yeah, yeah. And probably there is a little bit of fatigue involved with that as well. You know, at the end of the day... it's a lot of games and a lot of period. Long 10 games in 24 days or something. 8 games in 24 days or something stupid like that.
At least after United, you have a 5-day break.
Yes.
Before Arsenal.
Away.
And then there's
Arsenal away game is very much whatever we get kind of
yeah,
game.
Yeah, cool. Like, so I get that.
No expectations from that, which is good.
It would be on mine because we've seen, like anybody who's watching Newcastle, you just look up every game. I'm watching Callum Wilson last night, by the way. And I'm thinking, with Isak out, like, you're going to have to play again at the weekend. And you can tell he's managing himself.
Yeah.
He's managing himself. Where suddenly he's come back in, he's played 3 games in a row. And we keep getting told about him, oh, he can't train for a couple of days after he plays and stuff. There's every chance he's not training.
Mm.
He's just playing the games. I noticed one of the guys put on Slack earlier that there's a rumour that Isak will be available for the weekend. So it means he'd probably get a rest there if that's correct. But you've seen the effects of... players having to play over and over again. Like, it's probably regrettable for Newcastle. I'm sure in hindsight, probably there's a few Newcastle fans would probably think, do you know what? Should have just played a really weakened team at Tottenham, for example. Like, obviously, you want to try and get the result and stuff. But I think the way it's impacted them on the, you know, particularly the Milan game afterwards, just shot and out of legs.
Yeah.
Last night, they've nearly won the game. Like, credit to them, but they're tired. That's rough going Wednesday night and then the Saturday lunchtime. We take the piss out of Klopp, right? But that's why he moans about it so much, because he knows how rough that is. I tweeted last week about, because I think Harry, FPL Harry, had said about, you know, felt weird on Saturday, no 12:30 kickoffs. And I'm like, I'd get rid of them. Clubs don't want them. Atmospheres ain't the same. Games ain't normally as good.
Yeah.
It won't be, will it?
Yeah, indeed. It kind of, we look at the season so far, right? And there's been a few results that we've had that should have gone the other way, or not should have gone the other way in the sense that they were unjust results, more that I wish we'd have turned up a little bit and put a bit of a better performance in. Like Everton at home, for example, I think we should have been able to put ourselves in a position to get something out of that. Or even earlier in the season, when we've kind of drawn games that you think we might win, we could be right up there in top six, top four conversations with just a couple more points, like five or six more points, two wins additionally. We could be right up there, but it is what it is now. I'm really interested to see what happens in January, because I think there is a bunch of players now that are not bad players and decent squad players, but are not going to get into the first team. And they're the type of players that are now going to want to move on and get first team football. So I'm not sure whether there's going to be an exodus in January or whether it's going to be in the summer. But Danny Ings, I reckon, is definitely highly likely to leave in January, particularly because you always get these like promoted clubs that want a striker to just help them score a few goals for a little while. But the talk for him was Southampton, maybe, that he may go back
now.
Yep. Okay. You've got Ben Johnson. Like, he's not getting into the team and he's not particularly favoured, and he's not better than Sofa or Emerson.
The problem with these unwanted players, though, is you need takers.
Yeah. Pablo Fornals. I think there'll be takers for Fornals. But again,
Fornals you need in January, don't you?
Well, this is the thing, but he doesn't get into the first team. Who does he come into ahead of anyone that's starting? No one. So he's not getting regular minutes.
Well, you've got
Benrahma. Who's he coming in for?
Yeah, but with Kudos going to AFCON, you'd say, oh, Benrahma comes in, right? Well, he's going to AFCON. And he'd say, if you could ever get Maxwell Cornet fit, he'd go to AFCON.
He'd go to AFCON for Ivory Coast.
So Fornals
is another one
needed
on the list that may be out in January. So I think there's a number of players that are in and around that we want to keep, but actually, come January, we may see Tilo Kehrer.
From
like he's behind Mavropanos and Agbonna and Zuma he's a fifth choice.
Ings might be needed as well, right? You think there's every chance Bowen has to
play
go
with
back
10,
on the
mate.
Right and subject to Antonio's fitness. He's not that bad, is he? You just need to create for him. I think your style it doesn't suit
it's
him,
changed
mate.
Now, it's evolved, yeah. So I think we might see a little bit of a clear out where players want to leave. It's not that they're particularly bad players or have done any disservice to the club, or we've bought them on like stupid transfer fees where we're about to lose money. They've all done okay, even like a Tilo Kehrer, because it was pocket change money, right? But I don't think they're going to be happy sticking in and around. And I suppose that's a sign of evolution, where we've got better players now. How surprised would you be? This is a completely random topic of conversation before we can talk about Spurs, but this is a thought in my head, right? And I'm going to say it, and people will read into the headline of it. But do you think Kudus could be as good as Salah?
That shit for the audio, isn't it? That long pause.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, we've got a player that's come in here. He's already scored 10 goals for us, and he's not really played crazy. Some of those goals were Europa League against Farmers and stuff, I get. But he's been coming off the bench and influencing games, like the goal against Newcastle, equaliser and stuff. Plays in the same position, likes to cut in on his left, happy to shoot left or right, dribbler, young at 23. Salah came in and started storming the league at like 26 or whatever, right? And if I want something, I'm like, could that boy be as good as a Salah, for example? 20 goals a season, 3 seasons in a row. He wouldn't even last with us. He'd be gone for a stupid amount of money before. But I really think he has the ability to get to that level.
I don't want to say no.
Yeah,
But
can he be one of the 5 best players in the world? That's crazy,
yeah, we're talking about a player who's a regular kind of Ballon d'Or contender.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not taken long for him to settle. And
No.
And he's also not one of those players that gets talked about in, you know, signing of the season. Who's been the best transfer signing in the summer and stuff.
I get that.
But he's working his way up there a bit.
What you'll also have now, once you come into the second stage of the season, is most teams would have played against him now.
Yeah.
So the unknown... Because how many times did we discuss and go, well, where's he going to play? I don't really know what his best position is and stuff. Now the way the team's set up is like, okay, right, this guy's going to play on the right. At certain stages of games, he's going to swap position with Jared Bowen and go through the middle.
Yeah, he's got a few tricks. He likes to dribble. He likes to cut back in, left foot, right foot. Do you know what? We kind of likened him to, but I think he's way superior in skill level.
One of
Adama Traore, but with end product.
Oh no, I'd prefer the Salah comparison.
I think it's because we were playing Wolves. What you got, Adama Traore is
with someone
mind.
Like Mo, right? Mo came on the scene, and he exploded similarly.
Yeah,
and then it was the same thing. Like, will he be able to do it for a second year and so
it was
on?
The
and,
consistency you know, was incredible.
The longevity of his brilliant goal scoring record is, you know, I said on the FPL pod the other day, and I repeated it on stream yesterday. That I can't even explain why I don't particularly enjoy owning him as a fantasy asset, for example. But his level of return of goal scoring and creation is basically unmatched. It's incredible. So, you know, if you're going to compare him directly with, say, someone like Salah, you're asking for the numbers to go through the roof. Now, I don't see that happening.
30 attacking returns a season?
It's not realistic, Suj.
Yeah, no, but I'm just, he's still very young, Kudus. This is the thing, right? He's 23 years old. So I think Salah was 26, 27 when he came back.
If he did get to that level, forgive me.
Yeah.
He won't be fucking playing for you.
No, well, this is it. But he'll go for stupid money, which is fine by me. It's absolutely fine by me. He's played 14 games for us, 8 starts. And at the moment, 5 goals that he's... This is league goals, and he's scored 5 in the cup competitions as well. So
I'll ask a similar. Do you think Pierre-Emile Højbjerg will ever get to Moussa Dembélé's level?
No.
Someone tagged me into a Moussa Dembélé video again yesterday. I didn't know that all the players thought Dembélé was the best player they'd ever played with. Like all of them, yeah. Even like Kyle Walker, Trippier, people were long gone at the end. Yeah, Dembélé.
Yeah.
Anyway, Højbjerg, we're going to have to cope with for a while. But before that, because I know you like the shenanigans of my away day trips, and obviously it wasn't an away day trip this weekend, but it was shenanigans that gave me the right fucking ump Friday night.
For the Forest game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched 5 minutes added on.
What?
The Forest game when you went down to the pub. Is this what you're going to tell me about?
Oh, no, not
the fact
the
that
after.
Every pub wants to play music instead of show the football.
Fucking hell, mate. So I should have seen this coming. So I was debating, should I just watch it at home? Should I go out? And Harry seemed like he was in one of them lively moves. And it's one of them where he'll keep walking. You know what you say about the boys walking in front of the TV? Like, I can't be having that. Yeah. Sit down and shut up while Tottenham are playing. Yeah. Otherwise, do what you want. I was like, no, I'm going to go out. Fine. And it had been a long day with the deadline stream and stuff. I was like, yeah, fine. I'm gonna go out. So I went out. Plenty of time. Got down to town about... This is Enfield Town. A choice of basically 3 pubs down there. It says Taps, little hidden kind of Irish bar on Baker Street. I was like, that'll do. I've been in there a few times in the past. Not for game, not for since about 2015, I think, was the last time I watched Tottenham game in there. But I know a couple of people going there. I thought, you know what, I'll go in there. And I walked in there and it was like, it was deserted. And I was like, fine, I don't mind that. Screens in here are decent and stuff. Smash on the volume. They got Christmas tunes playing. And I checked with him. I said, you are showing the game. And yeah, he was like, yeah, cool, cool. So get in there, get a pint, cool. And then I see what on one of the screens, they've got like adverts going revolving around, like to advertise stuff in the pub. It's like, DJ every Friday night from 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, you still got a DJ tonight? Like, yeah. I'm like, oh, great. Like, I don't need a fucking... So I'd have been all right for the first half, but then I'd had to go somewhere else for the second half. Right, sod that. I could have done that because the other two pubs are walking distance. I go into O'Neill's and I walk in there. And my first instinct is like, ah, this is all right because there's a guy strumming a guitar, which I first think is like, oh, that's a no-no, live music in O'Neill's. Never known that before, but anyway. But the guy's playing I want to dance with somebody. And I'm thinking, oh, is he playing a few little Tottenham tunes before the game starts? And I look around and this crowd just looks like...
Not
everybody's
Tottenham.
In their 20s. Nobody looks like they're out for football or anything. I'm like, okay, right, this isn't going to... O'Neill's is... Even though O'Neill's would be like a sports bar, I'm like, nope, Friday night, it's going to be music. Across the road is King's Head. Okay, kind of King's Head. And I can see as I'm walking out, so they have like a little market stall outside it.
Right, yeah.
So you have to kind of walk through that, even though all the markets obviously closed at that time. And as I'm walking towards it, I'm like, oh, it's rammed in there. Properly rammed. Music's fucking blaring. And outside, there's a couple of lads chatting. And one's wearing a Tottenham scarf. So I'm like, hey, would they turn the music off for the game? And they're like, oh, we don't know. We're just discussing what to do. We were going to go across the road or try a tap. So I'm like, well, those two are out as well, lads. So I don't know what you're going to do. Yeah. So I messaged the missus. I said, you might need to give them the iPad because I might be coming home. There's one more to try, which is the Hot Poles. Little bus journey down Baker Street going north. And I went in there for a game against when we drew at Everton in April. And I was fairly certain that the game was going to be on. But of course, by this point, I'm thinking it's Friday night, a week before Christmas. How many people are like booked places out for their Christmas dues and shit
Correct.
Like that? Fortunately, the Hot Poles is such a fucking shithole full of older generation people with respect. I walked in there and instantly knew that I'd be all right. And I was until the 95th minute when the band started, because they had a band on at 10 o'clock.
Oh,
and the game went on past 10 o'clock. So at half time, they've got like a function room out the back. And during half time, drums started up and I was thinking, you can fuck right off. Now, fortunately, Clever Clogs decided they were obviously going to test their sound during half time of the football. I was like, great. But so, okay, cool. When this game finishes, I'm going to fuck off home. That's fine for me. I don't need the band. So 10 o'clock to them literally obviously meant start at 10 o'clock. The game was still going on, innit? Now, it was 2-0, but if it had been 1-0,
yeah,
I wouldn't have been too fucking happy about it. By this point, I knew we'd won and stuff. So, lesson learned. If Tottenham are playing away from home on a Friday night, get yourself down to Tottenham rather than Enfield. I felt I didn't have the time to get down there and stuff. I'd not arranged to meet anyone or anything. It was a troubling game. Because as I said on Monday's pod, these long throws and stuff. I know they've obviously sacked Cooper and they've appointed Nuno. I actually think Nuno will do all right for them, by the way.
Their squad's okay, right? So
well, they've got plenty of players. I think Nuno's not going to take them to Champions League or anything. But I think Nuno will be all right. I don't think they're like all in threat of
Who
going
would
down or what.
Take them to the Champions League.
You know what I'm saying. Listen, we just said that about Villa this time last year, right?
Perhaps.
I didn't see a team there that weren't playing for their manager.
Yeah.
Personally, was my take. It seems like there have been clashes behind the scenes and stuff, which part led to his removal. But I saw a doggy, difficult team who I never felt threatened by, other than the set piece stuff was like, oh, Jesus, this is horrible. Them long throws come. It just completely nullifies the football match and stuff. Doesn't matter the quality difference between the two teams. And I mean that with respect. Once it's long throws and stuff, now you're about how good are you at heading the ball and second balls, and what you do with your football is irrelevant. And of course, all that does break a momentum of the football match as well. Because I thought we started quite well. And to be honest, we had some difficult moments. I mean, Willy Bolly missed a massive chance at 1-0 early in the second half where we got pulled over to one side. Everybody went to press the ball. And I think it was Gibbs White played him in. And he was the one player you're thinking, thank God it's gone to him. No composure at all. Blazed it over. So, look, with away wins, I always feel like win, piss off, I'm less bothered about the football. But the intention to play the right way was still there. But it did also feel like another game where we've walked out with more problems. And these are self-inflicted. Anyone who's listened to COTC yesterday with Ricky knows. It's like, yeah, sure, we've had injury problems, but now we can only fucking blame ourselves.
Yeah.
So Romero's put himself in a position... Obviously, before this one, where he'd gone on to four yellows, and he was lucky, by the way, not to get booked on Friday night. Emerson Royal presumably will cover through Doggy, who's suspended for the Everton game. That's not so bad, be it it's one game. But Bissouma, Gee. He's been bad for a couple of months, Suj.
Is it getting to him, the lights, naming the lights, the fame?
I don't know, because...
Is this going to be the bottleneck that stops him from
being... In August and September,
being,
he was exceptional. And then as soon as he hit like that 4 yellow card mark, it was like it was playing on his mind. And a few of us even said, like, after he'd got the 5th booking and missed the Wolves game, I think it was, the Wolves game, it was like, well, maybe his performances will get better now, because like that, this kind of cloud hanging over him is like of these different suspensions is gone. But then afterwards, he wasn't great at Villa, against Villa. It was the Villa game, is what he was suspended for. He wasn't good against Wolves. Then he was suspended against Villa. Bentancur played great for half hour. Looked like a level up, to be honest. Then obviously he got injured. At City, he was okay. I understand, you know, he's made a mistake for the third goal. And listen, it's at City. It can happen. It's fine. Didn't play well against yourselves, I didn't think, Suj.
Then you did in the first half, but your final third, cutting edge. It wasn't amazing.
Wouldn't have called him great. And in the second half against Newcastle, I thought it was good. It felt like it clicked back again. And I think maybe part of that is obviously he's already spoken about Newcastle's legs and stuff like that. And the confidence of being 2-3-0 up, etc. Then he had a strange game again. Some of his decision-making and his passing, I thought, was a bit off on Friday night. And there's just no excuse on the tackle, which comes from a mistake by himself because he takes a heavy touch that he doesn't need to touch, doesn't need to take. And then he panics.
Yep.
He panics. I don't think he particularly means to do the player, but he goes in then for like a block challenge. And because he's sprinting into it and tries to block through, obviously his leg comes up and catches him. There's, you know, there's no excuse. Red card, as I said. And now to be without him over this period, despite the fact I've been a bit critical of his performances, it's still well a level above Højbjerg, for whom there isn't really much choice. Ricky spoke about perhaps adding someone in January, but as I pointed out on the pod, like if Bissouma and Bentancur are fit, and you've got Højbjerg as kind of your third choice, like it's low priority, isn't it?
Yeah.
So buying someone else in that position when we need a centre-back and another attacking player and perhaps another creative player are more important. It's low priority, so we have to cope with him. I think there's a possibility chance that he might have used Pap Sarr in the position if Lo Celso had been fit for the weekend, and we don't think he is. But you can't use Sarr there in January anyway because he's going to AFCON as well. Oliver Skip can't play the position in the way we play. Like if we were playing a defensive where you're going to have less of the ball, say like a City away, for example, like he can do it and protect. But Ange sees him purely as a midfield runner, which I think his energy levels are probably his best facet. He's too slow in terms of the ball and getting his head up to be able to play number six, so he can't play there. So I think the only other solution in January to Højbjerg would actually be to play Lo Celso there, because at least his ball retention and his control is fine, but he doesn't punch through lines with his passes. He's not quick enough, so it will slow the play down. So, problems brewing. But this time, it's all of our making. We obviously knew the situation that we were going to face in January, but to have it over this period as well, it's going to be rough. I look at the next 6 games or so and think, Højbjerg's got to play the position. And I'm like, it's like fucking doomed to me, mate, to be honest.
Do you think you'll do business then?
I don't think we can buy in that position, because I just think like it's the third choice
so
player.
Temporary.
He's going to play there.
It's temporary.
Unless you're getting a massive upgrade and you're thinking, well, we want to move Bissouma on, for example, next summer, then you're going to determine that Bentancur is definitely going to be an 8, which they might do, then I don't see it. I also don't even see it. It's not even one of them where you go, right, these 2 players are out for the season. You know, go and get someone in on loan. Like, go and get, say, like Calvin Phillips. Someone like Calvin Phillips would have been absolutely brilliant for us over this next 5-6 games, for example. But then, from February onwards, what? Like, would he continue to play? Yeah, possibly. But you've got Bissouma and Bentancur, and you've wasted not improving the other areas of the squad, which clearly don't have the depth to go down to third choice of Højbjerg. Like, Højbjerg is third choice, number 6.
It's
like,
not the worst.
It's fine. It's fine. That's just what we've got to play with in the meantime. And obviously, hope he does really well. I think the club would have been in a position where they're probably looking and intending to sell him. So that would be the only one, I think, if they actually sold him and went, okay, right, now there's definitely a hole in the squad there. Let's add. But that might even mean selling Lo Celso as well, which we don't want to let go of till Maddison's fit. Maddison's doing individual training, I think, in Dubai at the moment. Probably end of January's best case scenario. Mickey van der Ven has said late last week, he's hopeful that he might make the FA Cup game against Burnley. But I have to say, and I spoke about this a bit last week, Ben Davies has been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Just quietly gone about his business. You know what Ben is? He's dependable. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely dependable. You know what you're going to... And he knows what he is, right, as well. He's not going to... When van der Ven's back, he's not going to be like, oh, well, I played great for six games. I should still play.
Still play, yeah.
He knows what he is. He's cover. And actually, he's done a good enough job for us to know that he can play there in a back four, that prioritising the left side position...
Might be more.
Is become less of a problem because you'd go, well...
As a left fullback? Or you'd play him either full-back or left centre-back?
I would like back. Him at left-back. I probably... He would play Davies,
play
I think.
Perisic at left foot wing back.
Well, Perisic's out for the season.
Oh, wow, is he?
Yeah, did his ACL, didn't he?
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's not an option. Manor Solomon, we think maybe some point next month. I think he probably, because of distribution, he probably would want to play Davies instead of Udogi if Udogi was missing at left back. I'm thinking longer term here. But Royal. Understands the movement required in the position much better, much better. Even if that's to act as like a decoy. To get other people, whether you're dropping Son Shaw or Richarlison Shaw, whoever plays left wing, even if it's that and you're asking him to move kind of out of position, yeah, or you move him into the six and then move people along to the right hand side, be used more as a decoy. So I think it might even be that they're prioritising someone more as a right-sided centre-back. The name that keeps coming up a lot, and it's a name that I'm familiar with because the analytics Tottenham crowd, which includes like Nathan Clark from The Extra Inch, when they'd done models looking at kind of best Romero replacements in terms of like try and get someone to come in and compare this, and you don't want a nutcase like Romero, but in terms of stylistics, you know, pass completion, recoveries, all those kind of things, the name that kept coming near the top is Jean-Claire Tadebo, who's plays for Nice in France. He's the name that has been kept coming up, and it does add into the idea that Tottenham are using their own analytics system a lot more now, which I think is really good to see going forward, because I think in the past it's just been on a whim of who does Conte or Paratici want. Some transfers have really worked, like Vicario and Udogi from Paratici, for example. Some haven't and have been short-term moves, like Perisic, as you'd mentioned, for example, who we could really do with at the moment, admittedly, but is obviously not. So I think that's the name to keep an eye on, Jean-Claire Tadebo of Nice. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tottenham try and get that done really early in January from a defensive standpoint as cover. Whether he can play right and left-sided centre-back, I'm not too sure. But I think that's a name to keep an eye on. And I say that because I regularly get asked, who do you want Tottenham to buy in January? And it's more a case of, look, whatever the analytics team and Ange come up with, I'm in full trust of, rather than let's just go and buy Ivan Toney because we'll get blown out the fucking water by Arsenal or Chelsea anyway. So, yeah, that would be a solution. Really pleased for Richie. I know I give him a lot of stick, but he looks fit. He's obviously scored three in the last two. You'll remember I said in August, let's give him 12 games and judge. Well, game four come round and Son scored a hat-trick at Burnley, so he was never in a position to be judged. Now, clearly, with Son going to the Asia Cup, another problem, he's going to get this run, I presume now. I've at least sorted up to 7 or 8 games.
Yep.
So let's judge over this period, I think, and give him the chance. If I'm going to sit here and keep saying where we finish this season doesn't matter, look, I'd obviously love to finish top four, for example, or win the FA Cup, again, as discussed with Ricky. But if I'm going to keep saying what we do isn't that important, then fine. Let's look at him and give him the chance and see if he can be the player for us, because he's certainly got the raw materials to be an Ange type forward in terms of his pace, his willingness to run in behind, his pressing from the front, his work rate. All these things are good. He's decent in the air, which I think helps when we're playing against low blocks, which can be a struggle. Seen that again Friday night.
Yep.
It's just whether he can finish the more basic chances is more of a concern.
Cool. What's your prediction for your Everton game?
I've seen this morning that Doucouré is highly likely to be out for Everton. I think that's going to be a big bonus for us, actually, because I think he picks up so many second balls off of the front man. So I think we'll win, but I think that'll be a tough game. Kind of hoping that their confidence has been a little bit dented by obviously going out last night. It will certainly focus the minds back on the job at task on Saturday. But they've obviously had what I'd kind of said to Sean, I hope they would have, which is a taxing game, let's say. Certainly at least mentally, if maybe not so much physically. So, yeah, I mean, look, us at home, I hope that we get to a point where we'll eventually get to a place where whoever we play at home will think we're going to win, like Villa and Newcastle fans will feel. And I hope that over these fixtures we've got, we'll begin to feel that. Look, we're vulnerable against anybody, and especially a side who is unapologetic with how well they use set plays, etc. I think they've scored from the most this season. So be a tough game from that standpoint if we play our football and do it properly and create enough. That's the key. Will we create enough? If we do, we'll win 2-1.
I'm predicting your game as a 1-1, James. Tonight, Liverpool.
Probably depends a lot on Liverpool's lineup and how much they give a shit. Really.
I'm going to back us to win 2-1 because I really want to win this game.
I wouldn't be surprised if you go through tonight.
Yeah, I want to win 2-1. And I think actually also Manchester United were going to win by the same scoreline, 2-1. I think our attacking threat, they'll shit the bed a little bit. They can get panicked when you start getting in behind and get at them a little bit, I think. And we're quite good in terms of our shape. We'll frustrate them from an attacking point of view as well. So I'm actually backing us to win both games 2-1, which is weird and probably a bit ambitious, naive.
History says you don't go to places like Anfield and get anything.
No, but it's Carabao Cup where they're going to rotate. Like it's the only opportunity we're going to ever get.
Well, we think they will, but do we know that?
No, we don't.
Our minds completely on, you know, have they got themselves in a position in the league and because of Sunday's result against United that they think, oh, crap, you know, Arsenal on Saturday is so important that, yeah, this will be what it will be. And listen, they could pick a weakened team and still beat you, by the way, as you know. Ask me tomorrow for your prediction Saturday. As in after what happens tonight.
Because of course, injuries.
I actually think
all sorts can happen.
The 12:30, United's confidence will be up a little bit from the weekend, and subject to personnel, admittedly Bruno Fernandes will be back available, but I wouldn't be that surprised if United play quite negatively against you on Saturday as well, and that doesn't necessarily suit you.
No.
So if they put the onus on you and you're tired, I wouldn't be surprised if you got beat on Saturday, actually.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, yes. Please give us less of the ball and don't put the onus on us, as always. Less than 40% is the minimum, less than 30, preferable, less than 25% possession, if you're really
There is one more quick generous. Thing I wanted to talk about.
Go on.
The ladies beat Arsenal on Saturday.
Nice.
For the first time, which is a really big result for the growth of the women's team, because I'll be honest, you know, it was a 12 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday. I didn't have any work commitments or anything. I could have gone, admittedly. I actually went to a birthday party with Harry. So I would have missed that. Not that I mind missing birthday parties, fucking hate them, but I would have missed Harry having a good time. So I could have gone. And it was never really on the agenda for me to do so, because the chances are, I just think we just get slapped by them because they're so much better. We actually played them in one of the cup competitions last week as well and drew 3-3 and lost on penalties.
Yeah.
Now, the caveat is, of course, I've watched the highlights on Sunday night, and the only time you see Tottenham is the goal.
Right.
So Arsenal had a lot of efforts. They had 8 on target, but every shot they had on target was from outside the penalty area.
So the XG must
and
have been
the big chances
low.
They had were missed rather than calling the keeper into question. So you can say Arsenal maybe didn't deserve it for poor finishing. But if you haven't seen the goal looks like Ange ball. play all the way out, mate, including out from the goalkeeper, back to the goalkeeper, and then third man runs and boom and off and got them outnumbered, mate. Played the length of the pitch. Every player has an involvement, even the one or two players who, like Naz up front, who makes the run off to create the space. All of them had an involvement in the goal, even if it was just through movement. So really nice. There's a philosophy building through the football club. The under-21s won again the other night. Won all nine games in the under-21 league this season. Doing really well. I would like to see one or two of them involved over this period if we're really going to be that short of numbers. The problem is we don't really have someone who can come in and play the sixth position, but I would like to see Jamie Donnelly particularly involved a bit more over this period.
Cool. Patrons, stay safe. Look after yourselves. We're going to go back and do Sky again now. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Can you Spurs? Cue music, please, Manchild.
Fantasy Football Show.